Well, it's going to be a abbreviated version of the Big O Show. As you guys can tell, my voice is a little rough, so it's way too rough to go do a couple of hours of programming, and which I normally do. Today was going to be 5 hours because we were going to be at Toyota of Hollywood and then we were going to be at Hialeah Park. I don't know if I'll be recovered enough to do the show on Friday at Craig Zinn. Right now, I don't think it will be. I think I kind of need the rest. I kind of pulled this off. Those of you that follow every day, about 9 months ago, I did this where I kind of powered through a cold that I had. And my voice then, I guess I damaged the vocal cords to a certain extent. Not anything serious, but it took a couple of months for my voice to recover. So I felt like yesterday I had to kind of make a decision in the evening because it was just getting worse and worse. And I couldn't even do the soccer game last night. I had to leave the boys do the game on their own. And they did a phenomenal job, by the way. Sadly, the team did not do a good job. And we lost 4-1. Got to bounce back. And that's where I'm hoping that I'm recovered for Philadelphia. And for those of you that are worried, it's not a COVID thing. I'm fine. I've got no fever. I've got no COVID symptoms. I went to go check myself out and all that stuff. This happens to me probably on average, maybe once a year. I'm a little weird in this sense. I don't even know if any of you go through kind of stuff like this. But when I sleep, I have to maintain my mouth closed. So I either use a bed sheet or something to cover my mouth. And so if I accidentally, in the middle of the night, lower my guard and I start breathing through my mouth and I start breathing the cold air, I immediately get a sore throat and some phlegm. And so that's kind of what's happened to me now. And if I go and do a 2, 3, 4, 5 hour show, I'll put some strain on my vocal cords and it will take me a while to recover. And I'd rather not do that. So I'm going to take the next couple of days off probably. I don't think I'll be on tomorrow either. But I'm going to do this one here. I'm going to do a really short one just to stay in contact with you guys so you'll know what's going on. Everything's fine. Everything's good. I feel good. My throat is not good. And unfortunately, that's the main thing I need to do my show on a consistent basis. And as you all know, we don't do a regular radio show where you've got 20 minutes of commercials, 25 minutes of commercials, and you're really only doing about 30, 35 minutes of talk. My breaks are no more than maybe 8 minutes total in an entire hour at time. Sometimes I don't even take a break in an hour. You all know that. And so, you know, it's a whole different ball game. I can see already I'm 3 minutes into this and my voice is already, I can already start feeling the back of my throat. But anyway, last night, great win by the Heat as they defeated the Celtics 112-109, which, by the way, we won again in the spread. We are now 11 games over 500 against the number because we went with the Heat again. And we'll go with the Heat again in the next game. They're favored by 3 on that one. So take the Heat, take the dogs here, man. I'm winning lots with the dogs. I won with Denver the other night, and I'm going to take Denver again tonight. Lakers are favored by 6. Take Denver -6, man. Take the dogs in this series. Vegas keeps putting, you know, the Celtics and the Lakers as the favorites, and I understand the Lakers-Nuggets, that the Lakers should be the favorite. I still don't understand what's going on here. I don't. I didn't understand it as the series went on with Milwaukee, how they kept being favored. And then what you're watching on the court, and I'm glad. I'll take the points. I'm good. I'm fine, you know. But now the Celtics are favored by 3.5 now. I'm sorry. I think Miami keeps it closer, eliminates them on Friday night. It's one of those deals. I don't think the Celtics are going to blow them out at this point. So go with the Heat and definitely go with the Nuggets tonight. -6. I did kind of like the over. I didn't go with it last time with the Lakers and the Nuggets, and they did go over. They went over again. So they've gone over 2 out of 3 times now on that number. So the 215, which has kind of been, you know, keeping pretty steady, They've gone over twice out of three times. I'm not telling you to go for it, but if I had to pick one, it would probably lean on that one. But my choices are I'm going Nuggets plus six tonight and Heat plus 3.5 tomorrow. Tyler, hero yesterday, 37 points, 14 of 21 shooting, 5 of 10 from three-point range, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. I tweeted this out yesterday. You know, over the years, I've been a Heat fan from day one when I had season tickets the first 4 years before I got into this business. And over the years, look, I've followed this team, you know, every game, every day, every moment. I love the Heat organization. It's just an incredible organization. And through the years, we've had clutch players like Sherman Douglas in the expansion years with that little teardrop running through the lane and just dropping it on people in key moments. Glenn Rice came up with some really key clutch moments, clutch shots. Dan Majerle had some clutch moments for himself. John Sundvold had some clutch moments for himself. Let's see, who else can I think of from years past that had some clutch moments? Now, the guy that obviously is number one and will always be is Dwayne Wade, right? Right from the moment against the Charlotte Hornets in that first-round playoff game, shooting from the three line on the off the baseline, you know, and then it's Tyler Hero, basically. You know, I could come up with Ray Allen with clutch moments and Chris Bosh with clutch moments. And all. Dwayne Wade is the most ice player in the history of the Miami Heat. Last night, what Tyler Hero did with his 37-point outing, he's going to be number two. He may not be number two yet because obviously Tim Hardaway had more moments and Glenn Rice and maybe even Dan Majerle, you can say, hit bigger baskets in more games. But what this kid has done in this year and what he did last night in the Eastern Conference Finals, to me, he's only second to Wade. I think we found the next great young player that's got ice in his veins and is not afraid of any moment. And, you know, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that will Pat Riley actually have to, you know, find that other star, trade for that other star? Well, they're going to ask you for Tyler Hero. He's pretty much untouchable at this point. And Bam and Tyler are turning into stars. I mean, last night, that was a superstar performance by Tyler Hero. That's how superstars play. Okay? He was the only. I know that Tatum, you know, turned it on the second half, ended up with 28 points, all that good stuff. But bottom line, he played like an all-star. Tyler played like a superstar. And there aren't a lot of players in the history of the Heat that you can say play like that in these kind of moments. Maybe in game 10 of the season, game 42 of the season, you could get a Willie Burton to score 51 points for you. But that's just a hot night, whatever, and a lot of players can do that kind of stuff. They got it going on. They're talented. The good Lord blessed them, and they do it. But what Tyler Hero's been doing all year, hitting big shots in big moments, and for him to escalate it to this point last night, phenomenal, dude. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. And now, I think now we're looking at a Heat team that could develop into a big three. And Jimmy might be the smallest of the three. When it's all said and done, Bam and Tyler will be more valuable than even Jimmy down the line. Right now, obviously, Jimmy's more important because of the experience, the leadership, the respect, all of that, the toughness, all of that. Can you imagine when Tyler hits the gym and builds that body up and becomes a slightly better defender? Oh, my Lord. That's some scary stuff. That was one of the most memorable games in Heat history also. That this goes down with LeBron James game 6. You know, these kind of moments, that's what this happens right here. This is what it's all about. And, you know, that's why I wanted to get on today, talk a little bit about the Heat and give him a little love. And, you know, let's hope Bam, he said he's all right. apparently twisted up the wrist. Although, I got to tell you, anybody that has jammed or twisted a wrist, that stuff lingers. So I know he said he's all right. I hope he is, and I hope he's, you know, there's no doubt he's tough. But I hope it doesn't hinder him too much. You know what I'm saying? I really do, man. It's one of those things that when you look at this situation, you hope that because you want them to go as far as they can go and be healthy so we can actually see the potential of this team. And the mental toughness that you needed, I told you guys this a while ago, and it's not because the Heat is in the Eastern Conference Finals and one win away from the NBA Finals. I said this a couple months ago. You got to double crown whoever wins the championship this year. This is the hardest championship to win because you had a start of the season, then you had a four-month break, then you're stuck in a bubble for months, and so you got to try to not go stir crazy, and you got to focus on the game, and no team in that bubble has done a better job of that than your Miami Heat, okay? No drama, no nothing, no finger-pointing, nobody complaining, none of that. It's been extremely impressive. And for them to be mentally tough enough and physically tough enough to get this far already, it's awesome. So be appreciative of it, okay? Tonight, we got the Dolphins at 8:20. I'll be watching on the NFL Network. Jags are favored by 3. And let me tell you something. I know that this is the kind of game that you're worried about DJ Chark and Keelan Cole with everything that went on with Stephon Diggs. And Cole is a fast dude, and he will be a challenge for this Dolphins secondary. I don't expect Byron Jones to play, but Noah got a really nice education now, and I think it's important, actually. I know it was painful, but I think it was important because now he gets a week or a few days to kind of settle in on it and figure it out and say, okay, this is what I got to do. Now, here's what I will tell you. DJ Chark is a really good route runner. So I would still keep X on him. Keelan Cole's a blazer, but he's not the route runner that Stephon Diggs is. It should be an easier matchup for him. Not easy as an easy matchup, just easier than Stephon Diggs. Okay? So maybe Noah will be ready for that challenge. But on the flip side, okay, this is a team that offensively can get after these guys too. They have lost a lot too on this team everywhere. And they've played pretty well. They're 1-1. I get it. But don't go into this game thinking that Miami cannot win this game. And Miami, again, please do not follow all the sensationalism that's gone on and how people are pointing fingers at this team like it's the same old, and it's not. Okay? I've explained it already. They've been extremely competitive the first 2 weeks. They were never competitive the first several weeks of the season, not just two. It took them a while to be competitive in a game, and then they started to win. They're already competitive in games. That means they're ready to win. And don't be surprised tonight if they end up in the win column. It's a pretty tough and resilient team. They proved that to you last year when and the coaching staff that while everybody was pointing fingers, they got through it one way or the other. Okay? So tonight, I can see Fitz having a good night. I can see Gesicki playing well. I can see Parker and Preston Williams and Isaiah Ford moving the football. I can see this defense actually getting better. And Minshew will make mistakes. He's crafty back there. He's got moxie. There's a lot to like about this kid and how he's fought his way through it. But it's not like he's a finished product, and it's not like he's a great quarterback. Maybe he will be down the line. Maybe he won't be. Maybe he'll be a journeyman from here on out. But he's done a nice job so far. But he is beatable. And I know Miami has not gotten the sacks. Well, tonight could be one of those nights that against Cam Robinson and the boys, somehow or another they find a way to get some sacks. Okay? It's not – I just don't want people – some of you Dolph fans out there – I think we helped you on this show to not go crazy last year, especially early on. And then by the end of the season, we all felt pretty good. This is a process again. But I think we're going to get to the part of feeling good a lot faster than we did last year. And that's called progress. And what nobody wants to see, mostly in the media, that in the first two games, they're losses, but they're really tight losses, and it's progress compared to last year with no offseason. You know, I just don't close your mind, don't close your heart to all of this. Don't think it's the same thing. It's not. It's getting better. It really is. So there you go, folks. Let's hope the boys get it done. I have got to go. I gave you 16 minutes. I don't want to go anymore because I already feel it. You hear it. You know what I mean? But we'll be all right. We'll get some rest. We'll recharge the battery. Maybe we'll see you tomorrow. Maybe. But if not, guaranteed Monday we'll be back rocking and rolling. And we'll be talking about the Dolphin win, the Heat advancing to the NBA Finals. And go Marlins, man. Really important weekend now. Got the Braves and the Yankees over the weekend. If they win some games, they got a shot. They're going to get in there and sneak into the playoffs. It's a beautiful thing. Y'all be blessed out there. Thank you for all the love that you've given us while we've told you we're going to be out today. Always appreciate it. We'll be ready to rock down the line. Y'all be good out there. Much love.